Certainly appreciate the presence of each and every one. We do have visitors among us. We're delighted that you've chosen to come our way, and we hope that you will be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this morning as we prepare to engage in a study this morning titled, Why We Do Not Use Mechanical Instruments in Worship. And before we engage in our lesson this morning, I'd like just to express to each and every one that if there would happen to be something said or done here this morning that you don't understand or agree with, for you to please feel free to approach me about it. For I will be more than willing to take the time to discuss and study any of your questions and or concerns. You see, as members of the Church of Christ, we are often asked, why don't you use instrumental music in worship? I was asked that question just not too long ago. And I venture to say that you too are sometimes asked that question. As a member of the Church of Christ, why don't you use mechanical instruments in worship? And, you know, that is a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. And it's a question that is worthy of a biblical answer. So with that question before us this morning, let's open up our Bibles and let's study why we do not use mechanical instruments in worship. And I begin by informing us this morning that we do not use mechanical instruments in worship today simply because we do not live under the law of Moses today, for we live under the law of Christ today. You see, when you're talking with others about mechanical instrument in worship, and when you're talking to them who use mechanical instruments in worship today, who practice that, you'll often find them turning to the Old Testament to justify their use of mechanical instruments in worship. And I just want to give you an example of a couple passages that when you talk about the topic of mechanical instruments in worship, that those who practice it, where they'll take you. And beginning there in 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 25. And here in the context of 2 Chronicles 29, we learn about Hezekiah restoring temple worship. But notice what is found here in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 25. It says, and he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord, now watch it, with cymbals, with stringed instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet, for this was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. A lot of times they'll take you right here to 2 Chronicles, and they'll say, here, Brad, this is why we use mechanical instruments in worship, because it's a commandment of the Lord, and it says it right here. They'll also take you to Psalm 150. Open up your Bibles to the 150th Psalm. And here in Psalm 150, this is a psalm of praise to the Lord. And the psalm says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now watch verse 3. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the tremble and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's often where you're going to find people taking you who practice mechanical instruments in worship in regard to their authority to practice mechanical instruments in worship. Now, was it a command in Old Testament times for instrumental music? Yes, it was. In Old Testament times, it was commanded that they used instruments in their worship. We just established that in 2 Chronicles 29, 25. However, what's the problem with that today? What's the problem with that today? The problem with that is today is we're no longer under the law of Moses. But today we're under the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. And the law of Moses has been nailed to the cross. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse number 14. Therefore, although instrumental music was a command in Old Testament times, since we don't live under the law of Moses today, but under the law of Christ, this is no longer a command for us. This is no longer a command for us. Because with the installment of a new law came new worship. And we learn there in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12, as the Hebrews writer is talking about the priesthood and the new priesthood, and of in order for there to be a new priesthood, the necessity of a change of the law. And there has been a change of the law. As we go on to see there in verse 22 of Hebrews 7, that Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. That new covenant, a better covenant, the Hebrew writer calls it. He says there in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 7, if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. And we learn there in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 13, that a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Again, we are no longer under the old covenant, under the law of Moses today. Therefore, all those commands under the law of Moses, they don't apply to us today as Christians. For we are under the law of Christ. So we don't use mechanical instruments in worship today because we don't live under the law of Moses, but under the law of Christ. I also suggest to us this morning that we do not use mechanical instruments in worship today because it is a practice that cannot be done by the authority of Christ. As we've talked about in our previous lessons last month, as we talked about the topic of authority, Christ has all authority. He made that very clear in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. When he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Simply put, what Christ was saying is, I have the right to command. I have the right to order, the right to command. I have all power. And as we learn there in John chapter 17 and verse 2, all flesh are under the power of Christ. And since Christ has all authority, and since we live under the law of Christ today, we must not practice anything that is not by His authority. You see, we learn about that in Colossians chapter 3. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, there to Colossians, the third chapter. And here in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 16, notice these words of the inspired apostle. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How do we do that, Paul? Well, notice, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now watch verse 17. Because Paul goes on to say, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of, that simply means by the authority of, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Again, we are told to sing, as we see here in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16. And under the law of Christ, New Testament Christians are specifically told to sing. You see, when it comes to music, it's important to note that there are two kinds of music. Did you know that? There's two kinds of music. There's vocal music, which is singing, and there's instrumental music, which is the playing of instruments. That's the only kind of music there is, either singing or mechanical. And here we simply see what type is specified for the New Testament Christian. Singing. Singing, Paul says in Colossians 3 and in verse 17. To teach and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Going back to the reading of the scripture that Steve gave to us a few moments ago from Ephesians chapter 5. We see a parallel passage to the instruction of New Testament Christians in regard to what type of music we are to offer. And we see here in Ephesians chapter 5, and again picking up in verse 17 as Steve read for us a few moments ago, Paul said very clearly, hey, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he goes on to talk about the need not to be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but to be filled with the Spirit, speaking, verse 19, to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, how Paul, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see that? It's pretty simple, isn't it? The specific music that is commanded of the New Testament Christian is what kind? Singing. Singing. And that is why we sing and worship today and do not play. Because we are told to sing, and nothing about playing mechanical instruments is mentioned. You see, to answer our question to why we do not use mechanical instruments in worship today can simply be answered in just a few words, can it? It can simply be answered because it is not authorized. We could stop right there. But we need to understand that since Christ has not asked for it, it cannot be done by His authority. We also need to recognize that we do not use mechanical instruments in worship because there are only two sources of religious practice. That being either from heaven or from men. And if it's a practice that is from men, it has no part in our worship. Did you know that? Did you know that when it comes to the source of our religious practice today, that Jesus named only two sources of religious practice? Notice that with me, if you will, there in Matthew 21. And here in Matthew chapter 21, beginning here in verse number 23, here we find Jesus having His authority questioned. And here in Matthew 21, picking up in verse 23, it's recorded. Now when He, that being Jesus, came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted Him as He was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John. Where was it from? From heaven or from men?" You see that right there, Jesus? He just named the two sources of authority. It's either going to be from heaven, which is from God, or it's going to be from men. He goes on to say, "And they reason among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, He will say to us, why then did you not believe Him? But if we say from men, we will fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet.' So they answered Jesus and said, 'We do not know.' And He said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" So here we just established that there's only two sources of authority. It's either going to be from heaven, which is from God, or it's going to be from man. And if it's not found in the Word of God, then it's not from God. And it must be from man. And if it is a practice of man, it deserves no part in our worship. Notice this with me there in Mark chapter 7. And here in Mark chapter 7, Jesus is teaching against following the traditions of men. And notice what He says here, beginning in verse number 7 of Matthew 7. He said, "And in vain they worship me." How, Jesus? "Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition." What did Jesus say about worshiping as doctrines the commandments of men? If you worship according to men, what did Jesus say your worship was? In vain. Simply put, He said, it is worthless. And we need to understand that if we worship following the traditions of men or following the teachings, the commandments of men, that we're just simply wasting our time. Our worship is of no effect. And we need to understand that when it comes to the practice of men, that it is to have absolutely no part in our worship. The Apostle Paul warns about this there in Colossians chapter 2. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Colossians chapter 2. And notice these words of Paul beginning in verse number 8 as Paul gives this warning. He said, beware. Beware why, Paul? Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according, now watch it, to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You see that? Here Paul gave a warning about following or practicing anything that was according to the tradition of men and not according to Christ. And we need to understand that we do not practice mechanical instruments in worship. We do not use mechanical instruments in worship because they are not of Christ, but of men. But I also suggest to us this morning that we do not use mechanical instruments in worship because this practice transgresses the doctrine of Christ, which leaves one without God. You see, to transgress means to go beyond the bounds. And when one transgresses, when they can transgress by either adding to or taking away from God's Word. And when one adds to or takes away from the teaching of Christ, they transgress the doctrine of Christ. And that's serious. Because as John warned there in 2 John verse 9, whoever transgresses the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Does that catch your attention? It should. It should. Because when one adds to the doctrine of Christ or takes away from the doctrine of Christ, they sin. Because transgression is that which goes against the law. We learn about that in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 4. And when one sins, guess what it does? It severs your relationship with God. It separates you from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. And therefore it causes them to be without God. But on the other hand, those who remain within the boundaries of Christ's teachings have both the Father and the Son. So if we want to have both the Father and the Son, what did John say we have to do? We have to abide in the doctrine of Christ. That means we must do again all that we do by His authority. And if He hasn't said to do it, we must not do it. For if we do it and we add it to our worship, we are transgressing the doctrine of Christ. And John says that that will leave one without God. But I also suggest to us this morning, we do not use mechanical instruments in worship because this practice was not practiced or taught by Jesus Christ, His apostles, or by the early New Testament Christians. Did you know that? You see, again, as we mentioned earlier, there are only two kinds of music. That's either vocal, which is singing, or instrumental. And when you read the 10 New Testament passages dealing with music, guess what? Nothing, and I repeat, nothing is said about mechanical instruments. Did you know that? I gave a list for us there on the screen of all the 10 New Testament passages that mention music. And every one of them mention singing, and not a one of them mention anything about mechanical instruments. There in Matthew, in regard to Jesus and what He practiced, we see there in Matthew 26 and Mark 14 that Jesus, even when He was with His disciples, what were they doing? Were they sitting around playing stringed instruments? Is that what they did? They sung hymns. They sung hymns. We see there in Acts 16 and verse 25 of Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing hymns to God. We see there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 15 where Paul says, sing with the Spirit and sing with understanding. We see there in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, as we've already talked about this morning, the fact where New Testament Christians are instructed to what? To sing. You see that? Again, there is no evidence that any early church of the New Testament ever used instruments in worship. And no apostle of Christ or inspired writer of the New Testament ever instructed any church to use mechanical instruments in worship. Therefore, we do not use mechanical instruments in worship because this practice was not practiced or taught by Jesus Christ, his apostles, or by the early New Testament Christians. You know, it's interesting to note when you go back to the history of when mechanical instruments were introduced in worship, you'll find that they weren't introduced in worship until about the 8th century. Did you know that? It was about the 8th century when mechanical instruments were introduced in worship. And they were introduced in worship by the Roman Catholic Church. That's where this tradition of men came about, in the 8th century. And we, as a Church of Christ, striving to follow the New Testament pattern, do not use instrumental music in worship because this practice was not practiced or taught by Christ, his apostles, or any of the other New Testament Christians. But I also suggest to us this morning, we do not use mechanical instruments in worship because one cannot worship God in spirit and in truth with it. Did you know that? You see, Jesus made it very clear there in John chapter 4 and verse 24 that God is spirit, and those who worship him must, key word by the way, must worship in spirit and in truth. You see, here Jesus commands those who worship God to worship God in spirit and in truth. And God's word is truth. We learn about that in John chapter 17 and verse number 17. And did you know God's word says nothing in the New Testament about Christians using instrumental music in worship to God when they come together to worship him? Nothing. Again, we established that a moment ago. And one cannot worship God in truth by doing so in a manner that God has never even mentioned. Again, since God is spirit, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. And one cannot worship God in truth by doing something that is in a manner that he has not prescribed us as New Testament Christians today to do. But I also suggest to us this morning that we do not use mechanical instruments in worship today because to do so is to practice lawlessness. And to practice anything without the authority of Christ will cause him to someday declare, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You see, there are many people today who believe that they are justified in using mechanical instruments in worship. And they say, "Well, just because you don't agree with it, I know it pleases my Lord." I've heard people say that to me. And they're convinced that making music with stringed instruments and alike is pleasing to the Lord. But I want to remind us of what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 7. Go with me, if you will, there to Matthew the 7th chapter. And I want you to notice these words of Jesus with me, beginning in verse number 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Key words: he who does, not he who says. Because Jesus goes on to say in verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" Think about that. There's going to be many people on the day of judgment who's going to declare to the Lord, "Lord, we've done many things according to your authority. We've done many things." But what's Jesus going to say? "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You know what lawlessness is? Sin. Lawlessness denotes to be without law. It denotes to do something without authority. And there are going to be many on the day of judgment who are going to hear those dreaded words, Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, there are many today who are justified in their mind that what they practice in religion is good. It's a good thing. You talk to people who practice the use of mechanical instruments in worship, and they'll say, well, it's a good thing. I don't see why you're so set against it. It's a good thing. I've heard many people say that. What's the problem with it? Again, as we've established this morning, it's not by the authority of Jesus Christ. And if it's not by the authority of Jesus Christ, then we must not practice it. Because if it's not from God, then it's from who? Man. And again, if it's from man, and we practice things according to man, what did Jesus say we're doing? Our worship's in vain. We're wasting our time. And it will someday cost Jesus to declare to us, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's serious, isn't it? That's very serious. You see, Jesus asked a good question there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say to do? It's a good question, isn't it? You see, if we're going to declare Jesus as being Lord, if we're going to declare to Him as being the ruler, we need to make sure that we do all that He has said to do. We must not add to it or take away from it. And Jesus said there in John chapter 12 and verse 48. Notice what Jesus said there. He said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Let that sink in for a moment. Jesus says, if you reject my words, if you fail to do what I said to do, you have that which is going to judge you on the last day. You see, if we truly love Jesus, we're going to keep His commandments, aren't we? And Jesus said there in John chapter 14 and verse 15, he who loves me does what? Keeps my commandments. We go on to see, fast forwarding there to verse 21 of John chapter 14, that Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Think about that. And remember, as we learn in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, that he, that being Jesus the Christ, is the author of eternal salvation. To who? All who obey him. Again, there is no substitute for consistent obedience. And if we are going to someday hear those words we long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, then we must be one who always abides in the doctrine of Christ. And we must never, and I repeat, we must never add to or take away from the doctrine of Christ. Once more, we do not use mechanical instruments in worship today simply because it is not authorized in the New Testament as part of worship for the church today. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. May we be mindful of the fact that God desires for all men to come to the knowledge of truth and to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. Simply put, God desires for all men to be saved. And He has laid out a plan of salvation in order for all men to be saved. And if there has been one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, you have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sin. You can turn from sin and turn to God. You can confess Jesus Christ and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent, confess your sins to God, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to God this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. So, if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand to sing the song of Max is Selected.